mistake, for example, Revelations 15:1, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." The angels mentioned here are extraterrestrials, perhaps living on this planet right now. Let's take chapter 19:14 of Revelation, "And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses." These armies are us, preparing for Armageddon. We're preparing our strategy, and we're standing by. Because after the first part of the year 1976, you'll see many developments. You're going to be studying them. By then you should be writing this book, and you'll have begun seeing, by yourself, just by following the news media. What will I be seeing, Rama? What we are going to discuss here in our next few sessions. Two, I'll be seeing things in the news media. Yes. Because when we get to the message part, I'm not going to use any names. I'm not going to say, Joe Blow is going to be the Antichrist. But I'll give you plenty of clues, so by keeping up with the news events, and by putting two and two together, you'll know who this man is going to be. We can't say this country is going to do such and such a thing to that country. We'll just refer to a nation in this world that is going to be doing this to another nation in this world. You recall, about a month ago, when I told you what would be happening as far as your work was concerned in Peru. You had your doubts, didn't believe me, thought I was kidding. I'm not bragging about my ability to make predictions or to prophesy, I only want you to understand that I'm only reading what's written in this book. Rama turned and looked at me. I saw she was pointing to the Bible in her lap. I realized with great impact then what she had meant by the ability to convey through one glance a meaning that would take a thousand words to express. She continued, "Before, when I was talking about my planet and religion, I told you that we are going to make a parallel, a comparison, between the teachings of Jesus on your planet Earth and what our teachings are in the cosmos. In your world, people have been misled and have misunderstood the whole concept of the teachings of Jesus the Christ. Christianity is divided beyond hope. Start from the premise that no kingdom that is divided can survive. I won't be teaching you about religion or forcing you to believe in Jesus Christ. We don't practice religion as such. I'll give you some clues, and little by little, you'll understand more, learn more. By the time you're finished with your research, you'll be thoroughly convinced that everything I mention from now on will be coming true. For instance, the president of the greatest nation on earth today is going to be in big trouble. Before you go back to the United States, that man is going to be out of office. King Richard? Rama, you've got to be joking. Yes, the American scandal going on in the country where you live is a great one. That man is in trouble. He's going to be asked to leave office. I know things are bad. The Washington Post is making waves, but I don't think the country will get the president to leave office. I've read there's talk of impeachment. I'm not going to argue with you, because so far I've learned to trust you. You've always been right. I can see your attitude has changed. You're not so belligerent, not quite as skeptical as you were before. I've learned. And I want to learn more. Tell me, are we going to write this message in the sequence you gave me when we first met? We're not going to take each thing individually. All these ideas organize themselves into certain patterns, they begin to click together. When this happens, you'll know how to arrange the material. Like the message that the Antichrist is going to be a great political figure, someone who could be coming into politics soon. Another issue is the political thinking existing today in your world. Certain nations are competing for the position of the greatest world power. There are major forces that could tear your planet apart in minutes. One is nuclear war. But that won't happen soon, the destruction is destined to happen naturally. Remember I told you about the earthquakes, changes of climate, and this cold planet 3,200 times larger than the Earth? Yes, it's right here on my list. Well, take Revelation, chapter 8, 10-13, it says, "And the third angel sounded, And there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, Woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So, my friend, if we want to get scientific about what is written here, let me tell you that this star called Wormwood is a huge celestial body. It's known as the beast of destruction to all our planetary systems, because this world runs parallel to our solar system. What do you mean? You'll have to be more specific about that. Let me tell you exactly how it is. If a planet this size comes near our solar system, it will cause serious imbalances to several planets. I think you can see that your world has already suffered several major climate changes, fierce winds, earthquakes, volcanic eruptions. Perhaps you can't see it now, but by the end of 1976, or the beginning of 1977, it'll be more noticeable. Keep your eyes open for the weather reports. You'll see that in places where the climate has always been warm, it will become colder, and in cold climate places there will also be corresponding changes. The reason being that your planet, and several others in the solar system, are coming under the attractional influence of this cold planet, called Wormwood in the Bible. I think I mentioned Rodolfo Benavides, a Mexican author who has written several important books dealing with this material. He's the same man you're going to get your information on Ananias and Ananites from. He wrote a book called Dramatic Prophecies of the Great Pyramid. In his book he calls this planet Herculubus. We'll call it that also for the sake of reference. Herculubus is only one planet in a whole planetary system named Tela. The planetary system travels parallel in the universe to this solar system of ours, in the same direction. Herculubus takes about 6,666 terrestrial years to complete its orbit. At a certain point in that orbit, which happens once each cycle, it comes very close to our solar system without crossing the orbits of any of our planets. Naturally, this phenomenon causes very serious disturbances to our planetary system. Your world is going to suffer the consequences of these attractional influences 46 days of each year, in the late 70s or early 80s, becoming stronger as we approach the year 2001. Right now, it's not quite noticeable, but you'll notice it more and more towards 1982. If we were to check this date very carefully with the dates given by the prophecies of the Great Pyramids, and with the predictions of some South American psychics, we could clearly see that we're dealing not with something written in the Bible as religious rubbish, but as a present cyclical phenomenon. The last time Herculubus went by must have been close to 6,600 years ago. That's one of the reasons that knowledge of its existence is dim, obtainable only through the reading of ancient relics such as the Great Pyramid. The return of this planet will begin to be felt sometime between 1978 and 1980. You'll remember that between 1970 and now there have been several bad earthquakes, especially in South America and the Pacific. But the worst part of it will be between 1982 and 1992. That's when the Earth's axis is going to get out of its present position. This will cause the Sun to hit the Earth with the same intensity, in a constant way, over the poles. Within a few years, the ice on the poles will melt, covering great extensions of land. It will also change the cycles of the seasons. There will be only two seasons, probably spring and fall. This is going to explain the ice ages, the periods of evolution, all of which are 6,666-year periods. Later, when we talk about the Antichrist as a beast of destruction, we're going to come to this number again, so remember it, okay? If I understand what you're saying correctly, we're traveling in the universe next to a star called Tela, with its own planetary complex. One of its planets, Herculubus, is 3,000 times bigger than the Earth. To be exact, 3,200 times bigger. Okay, 3,200 times. A cold planet of such magnitude that takes 6,666 terrestrial years to complete its own orbit, during which time, at one point, it comes close to the Earth and causes serious cataclysms and things like that. Yes. When is it coming back? It should be at its closest point to the Earth on the 17th of September in the year 2001. Now you're telling me the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I take it that science in my horrible world is going to ridicule this because there's no scientific explanation for it. I doubt you'll have scientific backing, but there are plenty of people, which you'll discover when you read this book I told you about, that have predicted things. These predictions are the result of someone's knowledge about Herculubus. I've mentioned this several times. Yes, you have, but I still think that's not for you and me to tell. Look at it this way. The moon is only a satellite of the Earth, and it is the source of attractional forces which create such phenomena as the tides, correct? And that's only the moon, a little body out there in space. Can you imagine what a celestial body about 3,200 times bigger than the Earth will do? This happens to your planet every 6,666 years. It has caused deluges, the separation of the continents, whole bodies of land sinking into the ocean. During its last close contact with Earth, at the beginning of this era now coming to an end, Atlantis went down, Lemuria disappeared, waters covered most of the land masses. Before this, Europe and America were one land mass, also eastern Brazil and western Africa. If you take a world map, you'll see that you can make these continents fit together like a giant jigsaw puzzle. That separation was caused by Herculubus's close encounter with the Earth. What's going to happen when it comes by again? California falling into the ocean is going to be caused by this planet. Why hasn't this information been revealed to the world? What I'm telling you was written in the Fatima message. Remember I mentioned this silent group? Yes. When you met me, you asked why we have chosen to be far away in the mountains in a remote part of the world. It's because we're afraid of being crucified. Remember what happened to Jesus when he spoke about love and friendship and brotherhood? This is what we teach. We have to live here where no man from your earth can come. That makes sense. Tell me more about this planet, Wormwood or Herculubus. After the last Herculubus visit to our solar system, Adam and Eve appeared on Earth. Moses wrote about them as the first human creatures created on Earth. But actually Adam and Eve were only the beginning of the era of humanity in your world. Remember Noah and Moses spoke about the deluge? Was that one of the times Wormwood passed around here again? Yes, that's right. The Bible was written about, what, 3,000 to 4,000 years ago? Something like that. So the actual beginning of this era, from the going away of Herculubus to the coming back to Herculubus, is about 6,666 years. Correct? That's it. And we're about to complete another cycle of 6,666 years by the year 2001. What about this final judgment? When is that going to take place? The final judgment started about 10 to 15 years ago. The final judgment has already started? I asked, kind of surprised. I know this is going to sound shocking and ridiculous to you, but only because this information is new to you. What we are doing now is preparing the ground. I just want you to know that this celestial body of great volume exists. It's a scientific fact that your world is losing speed of rotation on its axis. That means the days are getting longer. Before the turn of the century, scientists discovered this change of about 1 second per century. Around 1900, they revised those computations, and they discovered, to their surprise, that this loss in speed is, in fact, at least 1 second per year. By now, I would say there's about a minute's difference from the last century. This is one of the reasons the Earth is accumulating excessive weight on its poles. The press recently announced that the terrestrial axis is suffering a sort of deviation, and that's the cause of the atmospheric problems that have been apparent since 1950 or thereabouts. Remember those big earthquakes? I guess you were too young to remember that, and probably weren't very interested. We've been studying all these phenomena in a very scientific way. As far as your planet is concerned, the whole story is in your Bible. All you have to do is search for it, and you'll find it. Our scientists and other people who are aware of the existence of Hercules are making preparations, because we know it's coming. On this planet of yours, our mission is to inform the people who actually want to know about this. We're here to help them, and to take a group of your people to start the next era, the Age of Aquarius, once the cataclysms have passed. You remember the Garden of Eden, Paradise, Utopia, Eternal Life? This is what I'll be teaching you. These refer to a place Jesus promised, where everything is beautiful, harmonious and peaceful. You'll be writing about your experiences here, about what you've learned. You're going to have enough understanding to grasp these things. By watching the news, reading newspapers, magazines and books, and doing your research, you're going to become convinced that what I'm telling you so far is true. Many of the things I tell you will be happening right before your eyes. I'm confident you can help us do it. So I thank you for coming. I think you're a good person who will never regret having made this kind of decision. By the time we finished this conversation, we had arrived in a small town called Conception. We drove through it, saw its highlights and continued driving. We stopped by a river, where we sat and spent a beautiful quiet afternoon. I was very deep in my thoughts, due to the new and somehow frightening things I just heard. Being with Rama, knowing that I was also cultivating my spirit, I was no longer afraid. Rama and I decided to take in a movie in Huancayo that night. We had such an enjoyable evening we decided to stay overnight. Chapter 11. The Antichrist. Sunday morning we got out of bed a little before noon. We'd been up rather late the night before. The Sunday fair in Huancayo was on again, and Rama suggested I browse around for a while if I wanted to, as she had something to attend to. We checked out of the hotel and agreed to meet the later so we could drive to Acaya together. By 2 o'clock, we were on our way, observing some very beautiful scenery, small villages, natural gardens, orchards with trees in full bloom, and a river winding through the valley. It was so peaceful that we both felt the urge to get out of the car and become part of that magnificent landscape. We got off the main road and drove along for a couple of minutes until we found a spot with lots of grass and trees near the water. The sun was shining on the river in such a way that it seemed like a gigantic serpent, curving over the immense valley. Once we were comfortable in our own little piece of paradise, Rama announced that we would be talking about the Antichrist and that I would have to start using my imagination to put things together. She asked me if I were relaxed enough to learn. I said I was. She began by asking me if I had read the books of Daniel and Revelation and the 24th chapter of Matthew. I did, I answered, but with my limited knowledge, I couldn't understand it. That's okay. I imagine some of the things you read have remained with you. Yes, dreams, prophecies, lots of talk about the everlasting God, magicians, sorcerers and astrologers. I imagine the angels in Daniel were also ufonauts. 181. Yes, of course, whenever you come across angels in the Bible, you should automatically assume that they are extraterrestrials. It's obvious Daniel had contact with these angels, or should I say extraterrestrials, and that they knew a great deal about God. That's right. God is a third force. You just said that there are magicians and sorcerers mentioned in the book of Daniel. At the time, it was common for a king to have people like that on his staff. Then there are the dreams about animals and monsters with 10 horns. This is where we'll begin talking about the Antichrist. Now I don't mean that the Antichrist is going to be an animal or a monster with 10 horns. Here, read the 7th chapter of Daniel. Read the whole thing. She handed me the Bible and I read the chapter. Afterwards, I said, in this part of Daniel, it occurs to me that he had a sort of premonition, not too clear even to himself. In verses 15 and 16, he confirms that. In chapter 8, he has a similar dream, and in verse 15, he tries to understand it again. In verse 17, he hears the voice of Gabriel, telling him that what he is seeing in these visions won't take place until the end of time. In verse 18, he faints, then gets back up on his feet. I found in Revelation that John faints twice when he's talking to one of the angels. I wanted to ask you, before I forget, why do these people faint and try to worship the angels or extraterrestrials? Because they were terrified. Those visions were really awful. Did Daniel and John see the same things? Exactly the same. Wow, what a trip. A trip in the sense that both of these men had contact with the same kinds of gods and angels that are among your people here on Earth. Since the beginning of time, we've been cultivating this planet Earth with the teachings of the eternal God of creation, which for us is the third force, the third energy. Read Revelation, chapter 22, verses 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things, and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen them, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. You see, the angel here tells John that he, the angel, is nothing but a servant of God and equal to terrestrial beings. He even reminds John to worship only God. I say this because I want you to be clear that the visions of these men were real events. They were people who had close contact with beings from outer space. Their spirits were developed to the point of being able to transport their ananas and ananites to other dimensions, and therefore, being able to foresee crowning events in the form of visions, dreams, revelations, and prophecies. In Daniel 9, he prays for his land, and then he has another vision. You're saying that Daniel and John were able to get themselves in that self-trance state, which puts them in tune with another force, another dimension. That's what I am saying. I did find similarities between those two books and those two men. But there's some confusion as to the time element. Daniel had his visions about 480 years before Jesus the Christ was born. And then John was able to see the same things 5 centuries later. How could that be? When we study about the fourth dimension, you'll understand that for a spirit, time and space are nothing. What is this fourth dimension? Sounds pretty fictional to me. That refers to the spiritual state of being. This is what you're learning now. Your astral projection will take you into the fourth dimension. It's no more fictional than any of your esoteric or metaphysical sciences. The fourth dimension enables you to move into the future. Yes. We're going to use the fourth dimension, and see how the end of this world will be. You'll be having your own visions. I'll start by giving you some clues. You put them together and come up with your own answers. The main purpose of these messages is not to cause sensationalism, or create publicity. Quite the contrary. We want this to be a simple, humble account of just what happened to you here. The people of your world should understand certain things that are about to happen. There is a schedule of events that is going to lead you into some interpretations about this man we're calling the Antichrist. He's going to be just a man, but a great political figure. When you say political figure, do you mean someone like Richard Nixon, Chairman Mao, Henry Kissinger, or some religious authority? As I told you before, I'm not going to use any names. We'll limit our designations to a man, a nation, a political party, a secret organization, a church, a temple. But we're not going to pinpoint anything because we want this story to be published. I'm sure you realize, with your law school background, that we can't afford to make waves. I know what you mean about censorship. We don't want to accuse anybody, because this is an open letter to the ones who sincerely want to believe, and to listen to this message. There are lots of people who will be saved, they're just confused. To make it easier, let's start by reading the very first chapter of the book of Revelation, verses 1 through 3. Basically, this book unveils some of the future activities soon to occur in the life of Jesus Christ. God permitted him to reveal these things to his servant John in a vision, and then an angel was sent from heaven to explain the vision's meaning. John wrote it all down. The words of God and Jesus Christ and everything he heard and saw. If you read this prophecy aloud to the church, you will receive a special blessing from the Lord. Those who listen to it being read and practice what it says, will also be blessed, for the time is near when these things will all come true. We are going to be repeating what is written here, we won't invent anything new. We're just going to make it simple for you to understand. Just as you've understood UFOs so far. Okay. That sounds very interesting. When the Bible was written, Daniel and John didn't have the knowledge that you have today. Therefore, they wrote in symbolic language, using mental imagery, something to be figured out. When these prophets had their visions, they saw the beasts as rotten and awful. Remember that semantics have changed through the years. But the symbolism is here for us to work out. Okay, shoot. This is where your message starts. He who has ears, listen. The final chapters of the earth will begin when a powerful world leader comes up with a formula for solving the conflict in the Middle East. He'll proclaim himself the world's ruler, the world's king, or even Big Brother. This man will ring the world into a war such as humanity has never known. In Matthew, chapter 24:22, Jesus tells us that unless those days are shortened by my return, all mankind will perish. So you can imagine how terrible this man is going to be. You've noticed that both Daniel and Saint John talk about the Antichrist, this great king. A political leader of great acumen. He'll even become the ruler of the earth. He will say he's the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for. He will have a great public relations office, let's call it the false prophet. But it won't be enough for him to be a world king. He wants to go further than that. He wants to be God Almighty. So he will go to the Temple of Jerusalem or Rome, somewhere like that in the world, and he will say, I am God Almighty, therefore everyone must worship me. You remember in John 5:43, Jesus mentions that the world would receive this Messiah and would come, not in the name of God, but in his own name. The name for this man is the Antichrist, signifying the contrast with Christ. You can identify him, he's going to have some very definite characteristics. The most important one is that he will come up with a 7-year peace plan for the Middle dot. East. I remember in Daniel, chapter 9:27, he said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week? I don't understand that. Each week in Daniel is a 7-year period. When you get back to the United States, a friend of yours is going to give you a book by Zola Levitt and Thomas McCall, called Satan in the Sanctuary. In it, you'll see how the accuracy of Daniel's prophecies is to the exact day. Another characteristic of the Antichrist is his European background. Daniel specifies this in his prophecy. He says that he is with the Fourth Kingdom, and the Fourth Kingdom is somewhere in your world today. In Revelation 13:1-8, it tells us that he is a 10-headed beast and he is going to recover from a fatal wound. Notice that Daniel also talks about the tenfold combination of power. You know, 10 nations, 10 kingdoms, 10 flags. Both Daniel and John agree about this beast. Right now we have organizations in the world integrated by 10 flags. Then these 7 heads, or 10 horns, represent the last conglomeration of political power in Europe and Mediterranean areas. I told you I'm not going to mention any names, but if you know something about it, then you're understanding some of the facts. But, yes, there is a 10-nation confederacy in Europe, within the Mediterranean area at the time of the Antichrist. And we have the common market. Aha, I see what you mean. The center of the common market is Rome. That's right. I'm just giving you clues. It's up to you to come up with your own conclusions. I told you that the Antichrist is a great public relations organization.